The KC2WI, is anybody doing the net? KC2WI, we'll do a quick net call up here. This is the Black River Valley Service Net. This is KC2WI. And do we have any Echolink stations wishing to check in? KC2WI, this is the Black River Valley Service Net. We're looking for check-ins any station anywhere.
N2PFM, good evening, Jeff.
WA to you. Okay, we got N2PFM and WA to you, and I don't know who's supposed to do the net tonight, but I didn't hear anybody doing it, so I picked it up. N2PFM, go ahead, George.
Well, good evening, Pete, John, everybody else on the net. Temperature here is 65 degrees. Temperature range today was 55 to 78. A lot of sunshine and a lot of electricity made today. I found that pickle water battery thing of using that alum and water after doing a dumping the sulfuric acid and two rinse outs with baking soda and water, thing actually worked. It started a little slower than you might originally think it would do, but it did start the thing up, and it worked out quite well. I was kind of surprised. I don't know how it would be in below zero, but at least in the reasonable temperatures, it seems to work. So keep that aside, keep it charged up for whenever, if I need it or anything. So that was a very good thing. Did some more work in the train room, and so it got a little too hot in there, and it's sweating too much, then I had to stop. So that's about what's been going on here. Say God bless, 73s, and hope you're doing fine. And ever since you had me do that certain thing with this computer here, I've never had any trouble since, and I'm very happy about all that. So we'll say God bless, 73s, and 2PFM clear.
Well, that's good. That sounds interesting with the battery there. Years and years ago, you used to be able to buy this battery rejuvenator, and I don't know what it was, but a little bottle, and you drip it in to the cells, and it just seemed to work, and I haven't even seen that in years, but I never tried anything else. Anyway, very good. It's 67 degrees here, and the high was 82, and I went out this morning in the backyard in the sun for a while, and then did a little work, and was going to go, actually I was originally planning to go maybe to camping and either today or go to Lake Pleasant or do something. I was thinking of going into Big Otter Lake, which is kind of an ordeal, pull a canoe in there and all that. I just a little feeling a little under the weather here. I think that the combination of when was it, last Thursday, I think, when I was up in Lake Pleasant and outside and probably not wearing enough to really stay warm. I was out with work and scrubbing the deck, doing this, doing that. It wasn't warm, but it wasn't really cold, but I think I got a little cold. And then Saturday was kind of a not real nice day, although I didn't feel cold at all when I was up at Crane Point, but I think the combination of some of that stuff and a late night or two just got me, and I've been feeling, you know, not a little scratchy throat, stuff like that, and I was hoping that good night's sleep and some vitamin C and echinacea would get rid of it, but I don't feel bad, but not much energy, so I actually took, instead of doing anything useful, I just did some work today and I actually took a nap. this afternoon, and feels like kind of I'm wasting this really nice warm night. But that's the way it goes. The doors, the windows are open, so at least that's good. Anyway, WA2U, go ahead, John.
Well, good evening to the assembled multitude. WA2U, good evening to you, George, and to Pete. Maybe some people will be checking in. Well, we had a low last night of 42, and it currently is 58 now. So there you go. Kind of an interesting spot. It seems to always be cooler here, but that's, I'm not complaining, but it's cooler in the wintertime too. Let's see, what did I accomplish today? Didn't really do a whole lot. I had a friend come over and he had his tractor. We had about 10 trees taken down over by our driveway here. Combination of a guy that had a tractor not that far from the power lines going over to our power pole. So my luck would be the way the wind blows and stuff. So Dick put the bucket up against the tree. This happened a few months ago, and the other guy, when he cut the tree, they could pretty much direct the where they wanted it to go. So, but anyways, the tops were over there. Some guy wanted the bottom, so he ran them through his sawmill. So, but I had the tops to deal with. So my friend came over with a tractor. We pulled them out into the yard, and made a few scars in the driveway, but it's just a run a crush anyway, or crush a run or whatever. So we just rake it back. And we cut them up. He cut them up, and I split them up and out by the splitter. Because tomorrow, Thursday, is our sit around the ring fire and fix all the world's problems. It's kind of funny. Our evening of enlightenment and philosophy and all that good stuff. So I guess the weather will be nice, and not a lot of evenings you can do that, because we're into September, and before you know it, we'll be inside sitting around the wood stove doing the same thing, maybe on a Thursday or whenever people just come over to visit, and we'll say, remember we sat out there around the fire ring, and what, 3 feet of snow's out there then. So there you go. And I guess you got to take advantage of the weather, Pete. If you get a chance to get out, you know. I always, stuff that, like the computers and stuff, I call it rain. I know it's, but it's like rainy day projects, you know, where you have no choice. When you have a choice to get out, you just got to go and take advantage of it. And the batteries, I want to comment. I forgot about it last night. We have an optimal battery. And the strangest thing with that battery is, it's you can't spill it. It has a lot of cranking amps. It's expensive. They give you a 10-year warranty on it, or guarantee, or whatever you want to call it. But when you hook up the battery charger to it, it actually reads the serial number off. It shows up in the display. So the battery charger is getting really, really high-tech. It tells you how far it's down. It estimates how long it's going to take to charge. Of course, this is not your run-of-mill charger. I got the charger that went along with it. I think the charger costs almost as much as the battery, but it's kind of funny how they've got all that built into it. Kind of like our debit cards. Everyone knows where you are or where you'll be or what you're doing. It's all for your protection. Anyway, that's another whole topic. Over to you, Pete. WA to you.
That's pretty interesting on the battery. Well, you know, I guess good charger that's matched to the battery really helps as far as making it last, if it isn't a standard old lead-acid battery, which those really are. It's a gel cell, you know, absorbed glass mat kind of thing. So it is a lead-acid chemistry, but I've heard they're pretty good. I've got a couple, and I've had them for years. Frank gave me, I think he gave both to me. One's a real big honking thing. It's not one of those Optimas. It's not the ones where you can see the round cells. Both of them are non-spillable, but I don't really know exactly the internal construction, and they seem to hold up pretty good. They sit for a while, and I hook them up to a radio or something. The one I have in my car now, the smaller one, I have it sort of trickle charged from the car and run in the HF rig. But yeah. Well, that sounds really nice, John. I don't really have anybody to go sit around the fire with. Years ago, I'm not an Adirondack Mountain Club member because they refused to give any money to the organization when they got Neil Woodworth there trying to put roadblocks up and for snowmobile trails and stuff. But I have a lot of friends. I actually maintain the website for the Black River chapter, which is mostly reasonable people. But I won't join. I won't give any money. But there was people that used to at least once every fall, and usually pretty late, you know, sort of a crisp fall evening, have a bonfire up in the Barnes Corner Ski Trails area there. I think usually they did it, but I haven't done that in years. But that's always fun to sit around the campfire, you know, even if it's right out in front of your house. I've been wanting to do that up in Lake Pleasant many times, but I don't know, it gets busy, gets late. We usually eat late. I probably full day go out. My father's like, oh, I got to do this. I said, you can do that later. But anyway, that's really nice sitting around the fire and talking and whatever. I envy you doing that. Maybe I'll do that sometime here in the next few days. But you got to get while the getting's good, and I've told three or four customers that, you know, and every one of them to the last person says, oh yeah, you should go out, do my computer later. I've got a stack of them here, and they're all saying no. You know, I'm saying I want to get out while some of this. Oh, they said, oh yeah, you should go now. Don't do that later. You know, do that next week. So fortunately, none of them are in a real hurry. They all have the same attitudes, pretty much. I just spent a bunch of time on the phone with a guy. I recovered some data from him. I said, you know, I got your drive if you need to pick it up, but I'm probably, you know, I may or may not be here. And he says, oh, don't worry about it. He says, go out. So that's the way most people think, I guess, unless you're really urgent need of it for business. This is KC2WI, and this is the Black River Valley Service Net. We're looking for additional check-ins. Over.
N5AOW, good evening.
Yeah, N5AOW, well, we missed you at the meeting last night. By the way, we had a lot of people at the meeting. I don't know. I bet there were at least 10 people there. We had some of those guys come down from Utica. Kevin James was there, and some other guys. I didn't even know all of them, but we had a pretty good turnout, even though Dan and Dick weren't there. By the way, before I forget, John, that Clint Capron used to say that's what they did at Slim's in their morning breakfast. We'd go to Slim's and solve world problems. That was always fun, meeting those guys there. But I haven't, you know, of course, Clint and Harry are gone, and I don't know who else meets there now. And Dick, once in a while, was there. But I just haven't got down there. It's like 8:30. Anyway, N5AOW, go ahead.
N5AOW, good evening, John, and good evening, Pete. Yeah, it was a nice day today. Got out on the lake for a bit. We did that last night. That's how I missed the meeting. I had planned on making it. We didn't get back in time. Got off the lake late. Sherry said to me, oh, your meeting. And I said, oh, damn, I forgot it. And I did. And I heard there were quite a few that were coming, and I had planned on getting there to meet him. I know Kevin James was coming up, and I believe John and Kathy had planned on making it also. But I just didn't make it. Doggone it, I feel bad about that, but I'll certainly make the next one. It seems like I missed a lot of them with the golf this summer and plan on trying to make the rest of them. So, yeah, you were talking about campfires. I'll tell you what, that's always a lot of fun. We did that for a good number of years and do it whenever we can, but lately, in the last year or two, we hadn't done it as much as we had planned on, but it's always a lot of fun, and you get to you know, just pat the brakes a little bit and enjoy friends or family who's ever there. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Pete. KC2WYN5AOW.
Well, every once in a while here, I don't really go outside and sit around the fire very much, but every once in a while I'll do that. I don't have a campfire fireplace, but I have one of those little Weber little charcoal grills, and I have another old one that I use as a portable fireplace. You know, make just a little fire in it, which is all you need. And once in a while I might do that. And also once in a while I'll just, maybe during the day when I'm working here on a nice, fairly nice day, in other words, not a cold day, so the windows are open, I might just make a little fire in there, just put some wood in there, and just get that little sort of campfire, camping smell. I kind of like that, if I got to work, it sort of makes me feel like, well, maybe I'm sort of at camp anyway. So that's kind of nice. There's always next month. By the way, I think it looks like our Christmas dinner, joint Black River Valley and Boonville Amateur Radio Club Christmas dinner, will be December 11th at Boondocks here in Lyons Falls. We're going to make plans for that. I think there's going to be a big turnout for that because we had quite a bit of interest up here in our open house, and we'll have to got to get a meeting going for the Black River Club and see how many we can get to turn out. But so everybody's welcome to come to that. And one of the other discussions last night was that some people are hearing some interference from the repeater in Rochester, and I guess Jeff was going to try to contact those people and see if they would do anything. But the other thing is, we discussed PL tone on our repeater output, so you could set your radio to PL decode. And I called Bob Verd today. He said, oh, it's already there. It's a 71.9 tone on the output, so you're all set. And if need be, we can flip a switch on the repeater and put a PL on the input if we start getting interference too. So make a note of that. 71.9, if you're having problems with interference from some other repeater or whatever, you can, put tone squelch on your receiver. KC2WI, this is the North Country Group. We're looking for check-ins. Any station anywhere, please come now.
This is KD2FPM, Kilo Delta 2, Foxtrot Papa Mike. Kevin James checking in through Echolink, and it looks like my friend from down in Pennsylvania, Bill, is behind me, so I'll let him check in quick, too.
KC2WI, KA3TFP, Bill here in Western Pennsylvania. Checking in through the Echolink system, over.
Okay, there's two Echolink stations. Kevin, go ahead and then we'll pick up him.
Hey, Pete. Yeah, KD2FPM, long time no see. Yeah, it was a good meeting last night. I was glad to meet some of the guys. That was really kind of cool because, like I say, I've heard you guys chit-chatting back and forth through Echolink, and it's always a pleasure to be able to check in through the Echolink system. So it was nice to put some faces with the call signs and names because, it kind of gives you a little more personal contact with the individuals. So that was really nice. Yeah, my day was a little fun and exciting here. I went ahead and decided to, finally cut down the hay field. And I say that jokingly. Mower's been broken for a couple of weeks, so finally took it out and whacked down the grass here pretty quick. And then from there, I figured I deserved to go get myself a milkshake and enjoy the rewards of that. And I had also gone to the grocery store to pick up a couple items. Well, unfortunately, I made the mistake of trying to carry everything all at the same time. Needless to say, a small accident ensued. I wound up wearing some milkshake and covered my groceries with milkshake, so I ended up cleaning up a mess. So that was the highlight of my day, as it was about 84 degrees here in the North Utica area. And right now I got 65 on the outside, and I'm just settling in for the night. All right, on that note, I'll say 7-3, and once again, thank you guys for allowing us to come and visit. The other two guys, by the way, were from the Oneida County Traffic Emergency Net, Matt, KB2, HKB, and the other one was, good grief, now I'm going to forget his name, that's good, AA2AIN, his first name just left me at the speed of light, and I can't think why it just did that. But at any rate, they really enjoyed themselves, too. So 7-3, and I'll stand by. KD2FM, back to net control.
Yeah, okay, very good. I didn't write everybody's name down, and I just didn't remember everybody there. But anyway, nice to see some visitors, and always welcome at the meeting. Welcome if you want to come up to the Christmas dinner. It'll have to let into OIQ. No, I think we're going to have a huge crowd at that, and Boondocks is just, you know, we've got 30 people there, I think, between the two clubs and the new people that are interested from up here and all that. I could be wrong, but I have a suspicion it's going to be the biggest group we've had at a meeting in year, at a Christmas holiday party, we call it, in years. But you know, it's 2 months away. Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Roger, fine business. KC2WI in the group, KA3TF in the B, and I don't feel so bad as being last or almost last here. A lot of you guys wait, and appreciate it when we're first on through the EchoLink. It's a time-consuming ordeal sometimes. Sometimes you have to make a few adjustments to keep things running. It's like running out of gas or running out of oil or running out of money. If you don't have any of those, you ain't going to go too far. Anyhow, we have 72 degrees here in Franklin Park Borough. Humidity is at 53%. The sun goes down now around 8 o'clock at night. I am not looking forward to this winter. I understand it's supposed to be a little more worse than the previous winters, which means more snow and perhaps more ice. Hey, I'm not going to hold a repeater. Good to hear from everybody. Top of the day, evening to you. And we'll be listening for a while, then we'll log off. KA3TFB. Back to net control, which is KC2WI, and thanks for picking the net up. Back over.
KC2WI, well, customer told me just the opposite today, that they heard that it's supposed to be a pretty mild winter. So nobody knows is what the answer is, and wait 2-3 months and we'll find out. 82 days until the start of snowmobile season, until the trails officially open, day after hunting season closes. So we'll see. It's a long time. Seems like a long time, but it'll go by pretty quick. I don't care either way. I love snowmobiling, but you know, if it's a low snow year, I have just tons and tons of other things to keep me occupied and amused between work and projects in the house and ham projects that I would like to do and everything else. So it really doesn't matter to me. What was that year, 2009 or sometime, we had very little snow here. And I ran the snowblower about twice the whole winter. And everybody, all the snowmobilers, all my snowmobiling friends were complaining. And the biggest problem really was, as far as I was concerned, is that all the businesses that, you know, depend on the winter recreation, particularly the snowmobiling businesses up sort of the remote places on Tug Hill and anywhere in the Adirondacks, boy, they were hurt big time because of the lack of business. But I didn't mind it at all. I still got in, I don't know, what, 500 or 700 miles. We had a couple towards the end of the season. We had some really good snow, and it was a few nice weeks, and we did a lot of nice rides. And in between, I just was happy that I didn't have to shovel snow, brush the back steps off every morning, and you know, spend a lot of time removing the snow. So we'll see what happens. I could, either way, I wouldn't actually, it's sort of, I wouldn't mind a real low snow winter just because I would maybe catch up on some other things and save some money not buying snowmobile gas. We'll see. KC2WI, this is the North, this is the Black River Valley service set, and we're looking for additional check-ins. Over.
Enter BFM with a further for you on that pickle water battery.
Yeah, go ahead, George.
Okay, you can find it on YouTube. Go to YouTube and the battery rejuvenation, there'll be a thing there on the $5 battery rejuvenation thing, and it'll show you how to go through the steps with dumping the acid first and then they give you the correct mixture and everything for the baking soda and water to put in, bubble everything through done out, that could take a few hours, dump it, put another load of that baking soda and water in there, do the same thing again, only the second time put the caps back on the cells and shake the battery up good, then you dump that out, let it sit a while dumping out, then it tells you the correct thing with that alum or aluminum sulfate, the mixture of that to put in, and then you put it on like about a 3-amp charge overnight, and you should be able to start the vehicle, which in this case it did, and I even let it sit overnight after running in that other van for a while, and this morning it did crank a little bit slower than the battery in my good van, but it did crank and started, so I'm going to see tomorrow what's going to happen. I just keep the negative terminal disconnected at night, though, just to be safe. But so far it definitely seems to be doing the job. I like that other thing on making your own logs out of junk mail. I've so far made 2 logs, and I got enough to make about 5 or 6 more logs out of it. And I got my 55-gallon drum here and cut out, ready for to put the fittings in and everything, and a relief valve for a methane digester also. So I'm trying to get quite a few things accomplished before the winter comes. Of course, I won't be able to make much methane for heat during the winter, but I'm hoping that this coming summer to store up a lot of it. So that was
Michael. Marine starting battery, not a real deep cycle, but the starting battery, that's dead. But the problem is it's been sitting for so long, I don't know if that would work. But I may try it, I don't know. As a secondary, I guess the question is how long does it last? And if you charge it up, how much does it discharge? And, you know, how much of the original capacity? I'm sure it's not that much because the plates have gotten eaten away somewhat and all that, but interesting thing, it would be an interesting experiment to do, so maybe I'll look into that later on and try that. I do know two of my snowmobiles are electric start, and a third one is going to be, I think. I've got a battery and parts from the wreck sled that I bought a few years ago, but and I've really been bad about the proper battery care. Yeah, at the end of the season, I park them, and that's it. And I've always said, well, I should take the batteries out and put them on those little battery maintainers that I have that I use in the winter to put the boat battery on. And I never do it. And so finally, they've been sitting since April 7th was the last run. I don't know that I started them at all. I don't think so. The other day when I was up in Lake Pleasant, I took the batteries out of both of those. I stuck them on the smart charger, and you know, they both, boom, they didn't take much at all. So, and they're not new batteries. It's a 2009s, I think, are both of the sleds, and I don't know one. I think one might be, I don't know if, which which is if one is an original battery or not. I think one definitely isn't, but you know, I just abuse them. I never charge them up, and CR decided to do that. So I was pretty surprised that they had not discharged more over since April, and I find my two deep cycles seem to be pretty good on that respect too. So it's always interesting to do that kind of test on batteries. The boat battery we have, we used to replace that quite a bit. Of course, we used to use the boat a lot, and so you know, there's no charger in the boat. You just crank it, and when the battery goes dead, you put it on a charger. So it seems like batteries would last a few years. Well, then we got smart and started. Well, first of all, we hardly use the boat. You know, if we run 15 gallons of gas through it in the summer, that's a lot. I think I probably ran more through this year than the last two or three. But I put a little solar panel, a trickle charger on it, and boy, it keeps it right up. And then in the winter, I put it on one of those little cheapy battery maintainers, Harbor Freight style. Now, I think we've had this battery for at least 10 years, and it just seems just fine. So I guess proper maintenance helps. Anyway, this is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley Service Net. We're looking for any additional check-ins or questions or comments. Over.
WA2U with a comment.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, first of all, it's very interesting what George had to say about the sort of a recycling form of keeping something going. And Pete, we'll have to coordinate. When you leave, go to the Bloomfield meeting, I don't know if you go by here, if it's on a Tuesday evening, maybe we'll just switch our campfire, our fire ring. That's what it is. It's a steel ring that we had made, and it's about 10 inches high and 36 inches across. So maybe on the way back from the meeting, to see what the weather's like, you could stop by here and join us. And there was something else I was going to mention. We were talking about the batteries and the. And, oh, I have a friend. He actually uses a got a couple small solar panels. They seem to be the smart ones. So he just hooks them up. He's got one hooked up to his tractor and. They're kind of nice to offset. You know, they won't overcharge the battery. They kind of float things, so it works nice. And thanks for the update on the Christmas party. It's hard to believe it's not all that far away. And thanks for picking up the net. And I did a scan. And the PL, when Kevin James and, the guy that Kevin was trying to think of, I think it's Josh Nate, I did a PL scan, I did not come up with 71.9. However, when someone's on the Echolink, if you'll notice and do a, if you have the capability of doing PL scan, you'll notice 118.8. Anyways, back over to you, and I'll listen, and what a beautiful evening. WA to you.
Well, maybe Bob's got his records wrong, but I don't understand why the Echolink would do anything, because the Echolink is just a link radio from Jeff's. I mean, you know, how does the repeater know whether it's a radio transmitting audio from an Echolink station or anybody else? I don't get that, but. And I would think it would not pass through the repeater audio filter. Any tone coming in would not pass through. But maybe it does on that. Maybe it is on that repeater, and maybe Jeff's got his radio that he's using set, whether he knows it or not, to have that PL tone. That could be. We'll have to look at it a little more and confer with Bob. And. Yeah, sometime, John, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I think I'm going to try to get out of here real early tomorrow and head up. But if for some reason if I don't, maybe I'll go at night. I'll give you a call and stop by on the way or something. But You know, it's not bad here this evening. It's very pleasant in the house. It's outside. It says it's 66 outside. I wouldn't mind being on the front porch listening to the loons and the owls, which is all you'd hear tonight, because, you know, after the summer, there's generally no one around during the week, and not many even on the weekends. But, like I said, I just was not too energetic this afternoon, and so I'm still here. Hopefully, I'm going to get a little time up before the weather turns, and I guess it's going to be rainy maybe Saturday night, Sunday, but not really bad. So, you know, and I don't think it's not going to get real cold, but yeah, it's the middle of September. We were looking at the calendar there last night and figuring out when is the, you know, the town country 10K run, and that's the day after the Fall Festival, and holy cow, that's October 3rd, and that's only 2.5 weeks from now, and the thing that makes that seem amazing is that almost without fail, it is cold and rainy, and you know, I mean, it's usually a pretty chilly day, at least to start out with. It's sometimes rainy. It's not usually a real nice warm day for that run, so it sticks in the mind of everybody who does that the town and country 10K is usually on not a very nice day, or at least it doesn't start out very nice, and then at least the sun comes out, or the other way around, it's cold and then it gets worse and rains. So it just seems hard to believe it's only, you know, 2 weeks away, but that's what it is, and you know, it also seems that hard to believe it's only the end of the month, it's only 2 weeks away, because if you look at the trees, things are brown because of the dryness, but you know, it just does not, there's not color, and there's not, you know, there's some leaves on the ground, but it just doesn't look like, you know, peak color season in the Adirondacks anyways is only about, you know, 2 to 3 weeks away if we have any color this year. KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley ServiceNet, and once again, any last-minute check-ins or questions or comments?
Yeah, it's only 56 here, Pete, just so you know, and the helicopter's heading your way. I don't know what's going on. I think I heard someone in trying to probably get in. I'll get out of here. WA273.
Yeah, this is KB2KOJ here for Arkan. Pete, you still have the net going here?
Well, we're kind of rag-chewing here, you want to make a call, go ahead. Just make the comment, John, it's 66 here, and it's always a little, you know, it's warm right here, and it's always a little, I guess we're done, and go ahead and make your net calls there.
Okay, thanks, Pete, appreciate that. Thanks for letting me in. This is KB2KOJ for the United County Traffic and Emergency Net. Octane currently on the 145.17. Stations 4, Octane, come now, please.
This is N2PFM, November 2, Papa Foxtrot Mike in Lowellville. Good evening, no traffic.
5AOW, good evening, Mark.
AC2WI.
N2PFM Bill, N5AOW Bob, and KC2WI Pete. Anyone else for Octane with or without traffic?
Comment from N2PFM. The handle here is George, not Bill. N2PFM clear.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, George. Thanks for letting me know that. Okay, are there any other stations for Octane? Okay, well, let's see. George, would you be in a position to copy traffic?
No, that's a negative at the moment. N2PFM.
KC2WI, you want to copy a piece of traffic?
KC2WI, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, let me just make another call. Are there any other stations VORAC on, like KC2NBU or KD2AIT? Are you on?
Those guys didn't check into the net, so I guess they're not around.
Okay, then I'll just give it to you then, Pete. So you ready to copy? Assuming you're ready to copy.
Ready to copy.
Okay, it's the ICANN report for August. Please copy number 239, routine. KA2ZNZ 10, Liverpool, New York, September 1, break. August ICANN report. Stations 994. Stations 994. Traffic 302. Session 31. 7-3 break mark, KB2KOJ, assistant net manager, ICANN. And know the traffic, how'd you do, Pete?
KC2WI, roger the message.
Okay, very good. And I thank you for your support of ICANN. Okay, I'll get out of the way here. Final call for ICANN. Okay, nothing else there. I want to thank everyone for checking in this evening. Do appreciate it. And Pete, thanks a lot for letting me break in. Much appreciated. Say 7-3 to all and hope to hear everyone tomorrow evening. KB2KOJ is clear. All yours, Pete. Go ahead. Thanks.
Okay, I guess we're really done here, but we'll just add net inside of net, I guess. This KC2WI, any final check-ins or comments for the Black River Valley Service Net, please call now, over.
WATU.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, if you can do a scan, that'll just verify what I saw, because then if they do put 71.9 on, you wouldn't be able to hear the, I don't know, I think Jeff explained it to me, what's going on with the radio. I think it's transmitting a tone, but I know you're familiar with that tone scan with your radio, so that's what I did with this. When I heard the Echo Link up, it came 118.8. But then when the Echo Link goes away, you don't hear anything. So it's better if someone verifies it besides just me. So if we get a free moment in time, thanks again for doing the net, Pete. WAQ, clear, 7-3.
Yeah, all I have in the house is old radios that don't have any such features. But I actually, this is really bad. I bought a TMV71AES last year. You know, one of those gimmicks where, oh, a special coupon until September 30th or something. To put in my mobile as a replacement dual bander, because my old one was, you know, just non-functional. And the radio is still sitting in the box, sealed. I've never even taken it out of the box because I discovered the antenna was bad, and I never decided on what a new dual-band antenna and mount to get. So I guess I really need to get that, and I really need to get more than a quarter wave on the car because I need to get better reception. I get out of range too quick. So that would do it. I don't think the 746 Pro will do tone scan. I'd have to look that up. Otherwise, I could hook that up on a 2-meter antenna and try it. And probably all the other this is an old ICOM 28H. You know, it has tones, but not frequencies. It's tone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you got to look up and figure out what they are. And the other one is an old Radio Shack HTX242, and I don't think the tones work in that. Last time I tried to do an encode, it didn't seem to work. So, you know, I'm using old stuff here. But I'll get the other radio out maybe and try it. Got to get that put in the car. It's on my to-do list to get on and make a decision on what antenna. I think I'm going to get, I've been getting diamonds. They last maybe 10 years, you know, and then the salt gets them or whatever. I've rebuilt one or two. But I might, there's a Comet that looks good, and Tom Dick says he's got, I forgot what the model was, he really likes it. And I might try a different mount. I've sort of been hanging back to, you know, maybe I was going to do something a little different with mounting, but I think I'm just going to go sort of the conventional big I'm just going to get a little short dual bander for times when I'm driving around in the woods and I don't want to whack the good antenna. But right now I just have an old Yaesu FT2400, I think it is. It's in the car. It works good on 2 meters, but that's old enough. I'm sure it doesn't have any kind of scan.
When you get the Kenwood hooked up, you're going to love it. That's the same radio that we have here. And it's kind of neat because you basically have two radios built to one. You know, it's got so much memory, you can just put all the memory in there and maybe we can print out a list. And then what I did is I put all the 2-meter repeaters in and 440 that are in the Central York area. And then I put in all the marine frequencies just for, because we're so close to the lake. And the MERS frequencies, there's 5 of those. And they are FRS and GMRS frequencies. Plus the radio.
Yeah, well, let me, anyone else have any comments? Well, I'll just close the net here and then I'll make a comment to John. Any final comments or check-ins for the Black River Valley Service Net? Okay, none heard. This is KC2WI. I'll close in Black River Valley Service Net. Thanks everyone for checking in. And John, yeah. Well, you know, I have never hooked a radio to a computer and programmed it. Never done it. The only thing I've ever done is I've hooked my 746 Pro has got a hook up to the computer here, and pretty much, you know, I use that with FL Digi, and it'll tell me what frequency, you know, usually I set the radio and it tells the computer and it reads out what the frequency is. It's no big deal unless you were logging, you know, but that's all I've ever done. But, you know, like I said, if we have a low snow or late winter or something, you know, late start, that's fine with me because I could spend days fiddling around with all this radio stuff. And what I'd like to do is take and program the memories in my 746 Pro. I have 100 memories, and they're not too badly disorganized. But then, of course, my 7000 has memories, which aren't the same as the 746 Pro. And the 706, I don't know, I haven't even used that in a year. But I'd like to just on the HF, and of course the 7000 is going to be different because that's got the VHF, UHF, and you know, banks and all that stuff. But I want to program the same sequence into all three HF radios that I can program. It's too bad I can't program my little Olinko the same way, but I can't. And I don't know, I don't think any of those HF radios have alphanumeric capabilities, but I'm sure that V71A has. So I'm thinking, you know, if you put, I can't remember all the frequencies, and then maybe the same frequency with different PL tones for different areas. I'm thinking I might actually go to, you know, names in there. You know, abbreviations of repeater names. So I can keep them straight. And then I've had the parts to make a cable since 2001, maybe, for my VX5R, and I've never done that, and that's a bear to, you know, that's just the little buttons and all to program that. I think, I don't know if it's 100 or 200, whatever, but that's got a real mishmash of stuff. You know, I go do something and I would throw something in a memory. You know, there's an aircraft 122-8, the Unicom for Paseco Airport's in one, and this, that, and the other, all kinds of oddball stuff. So I think I did program the all the FRS channels in there up at like memory 50 through, you know, would be 50 through, there's 14 plus 7, I think. 14 FRS and then the 5G, I think the 7G MRS or something. I don't even know what, you know. So, you know, that's a nice winter project, a nice crummy weather project to do all that programming stuff. Anyway, John, we'll talk to you later, give you a shout when I'm going through, and you know, one of these days I'll have to coordinate there and stop. And that would be really nice to do a fireside, sit around the fire thing, if it works out timing wise. All right. Anyway, we'll talk to you later. 73s at WA2UKC2WI.
Okay. Well, the Kenwood, you can also on the FRS to make them work well. You can do the narrow band FM too. So that's a just something more to do that you can do with the Kenwood. So you can do the narrow band FM. So you have the right deviation. And the MERS, Kathy and I have regular MERS radios that we use. You know, they're 151. I thought I knew the sequence, but there's five channels. They're kind of neat, and they're all got different deviations depending on, but they're kind of nifty. But I could, maybe there's a way I can, I've never done it, hook the radio up to the computer. I've done that to update the software, which is another whole thing, but I basically entered in the frequency, and I'm glad when you go to reset, are you sure you want to do that? So they've got about three different versions of, but yeah, we'll compare some of the notes, and the Kenwood has like 1,000 memory channels, so all these features, and if I don't use